It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello. I'm recording this literally 31 minutes before airtime. So, I've got to get this all in one take and uploaded a really tight schedule. So, we're going to do our best. I have so much work going on, and I just keep losing track of time. It's a little annoying, but, you know, such is life. Kind of the way it goes, I guess. But we're going to start the way we always start, and that's with the world news. World news. Perfect. All right, so here we go. First up, it is St. Patrick's Day. So happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody. Let's go ahead and get the sadness going. Lesotho sacks hundreds of striking nurses as doctors warn of dire shortages. Lesotho, the African state, was already struggling to cope with TB, which is tuberculosis, HIV, and COVID before latest response to demands for equal pay. Lesotho has sacked hundreds of its nurses over the past few days in a row over pay. The small southern African country's main hospital in the capital, Maseru, fired 345 nurses and nursing assistants who've been on strike for the past month with immediate effect. The nurses went on strike to press the government-owned Queen Mamohato Memorial Hospital to give them the same salaries as their counterparts in other government and private institutions. Opened in 2011, QMMH, which is the name shorthand for that hospital, is state-owned but run by Sepong Consortium, comprising five companies, namely Netcare Healthcare Group and AfriNi of South Africa, and Excel Health, Women Investment, and D10 Investments of Lesotho. The Lesotho Nurses Association said last month QMMH nurses were paid about 9,000 South African rand, which is about £435. I think I might sneeze. holding it back. At least 4,000... At least 4,000 rand a month less than their counterparts in other government-run hospitals, who are paid at least 13,000 rand, or £630 a month. So that's a significant amount. It's almost £200 a month difference. When you're only getting 400, that's a huge... That's a life-changing pay difference. Anyway, the dismissal comes after the nurses defied a February 24th interim labor court ruling that said they must go back to work pending the finalization of their dispute. But even before the court hearing, QMMH reportedly moved to axe the workers and said it would soon start recruiting new nurses. For now, it said it would continue working with a skeleton staff. And that is capitalism at its finest, I would say. The for-profit hospital fired all the workers, and it's like, sure, people may die, but it's not us that's dying, right? We've got a story from the Public Utility Commission of Texas that has a similar feel coming up in a little bit. So let's keep going. This comes to us from Al Jazeera. Weeks after the February 1st military coup in Myanmar, Kunga, a 24-year-old low-ranking member of the Myanmar army, was ordered a new set of duties to spy on the civil disobedience movement protesters in Tonsang town of Chin State. Soon after, he deserted the military, joined the CDM, which is the civil disobedience movement, and escaped to neighboring India. Kunga is among dozens of Myanmar security officials and citizens who have escaped to the northeastern parts of India amid a military crackdown on anti-coup protesters. Reports say at least 180 people have died in the violence in Myanmar. There's no clarity on the number of Myanmar officials and citizens who fled the country to Mizoram and Manipur, the northeastern Indian states along the border. Sources in Assam Rifles, India's paramilitary force guarding the 510-kilometer Indian-Myanmar border, said an estimated 264 people have crossed over, with three-quarters of them being police personnel. Sangchin Chinza, a senior official of Mizoram's home department, said the state government has no clear estimates. I have no idea. It's impossible to do a head count, as many are living with relatives. K. Kay Van La Vina, a member of parliament representing Mizoram, said the number is increasing hourly. I have some reports that more than 400 have already entered. The appeal from Van La Vina, who represents Mizo National Front, the political party currently in power in Mizoram, came after New Delhi made it clear that the Myanmar refugees were not welcome. At least 8 Myanmar nationals have either been returned to Myanmar by Assam Rifles after direction from New Delhi to not allow anyone to cross over. A community leader in Farquhan village on the Indian-Myanmar border said 14 people from Myanmar who had arrived on Monday were sent back by the Assam Rifles. So, very sad indeed. Bad news awaited Kunga after he crossed over to India. A relative told me my father was arrested back home. As soon after I left, he said, I don't know his condition. He said his father was a 63-year-old carpenter. Kunga said he's now scared to even call his family. They'll arrest the person I contact on the phone, he said. Others seeking shelter have similar fears. So, it's kind of a catch right there, right? They'll be killed or imprisoned and treated harshly if they go back home. But if India catches them, they'll be sent back home. So, hopefully, India has some compassion on these people. Not going to hold my breath, but I hope so. All right, keep on moving. Let's go down into Africa now. Kenyan court says police to blame for death of girl after 2017 elections. A Kenyan inquest has ruled that police are to blame for the death of a 9-year-old girl during violence after the 2017 elections, saying that if the police wanted to find the girl's killer, who remains at large, they could do so in a day. The death of Stephanie Mora and that of a 6-month-old baby killed in post-election violence in western Kenya became a flashpoint for public anger over police brutality. It also put a spotlight on what critics say are inadequate government efforts to prosecute officers who commit crimes. Kenyan police frequently face accusations of brutality and extrajudicial killings from civilians and rights groups, but officers are rarely charged and almost never convicted. Chief Magistrate Francis Andayi of the Magistrates' Court of Nairobi Milimani Law Courts wrote in his report that the girl's death was caused by deliberate shooting by a police officer whose identity has been frustrated by police officers covering for one another under the blue code of silence. He forwarded his report, seen by Reuters, on Wednesday to the Director of Public Prosecution for further action. We shall wait for the next course of action by the Director of Public Relations, police spokesman Charles Owino said in response to a request for comment on the inquest report. It's noted that the girl's death and the inability to apprehend the officer who killed her reflects the habitual reality for Kenyans after the announcement of election results. So keep our hopes up for Kenya. As we've seen all around the world, if you become a police officer and you're at least of the predominant nationality of the police or race, then yeah, you can kill anybody you want. Kids, you know, you can assault people. You can do anything you want, and nothing will happen to you. So, anyway, not that I would ever hope that the bad guys would be pushed out by decent people, but yeah. Anyway, it's one of the things that really makes me angry, because it's an abuse of trust and power, and it doesn't seem like there's any way out of it. Anyway, sorry, I get a little out of there. Let's take this break to just mention that you're listening to Anon Radio. It's powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System. I just got my mug in the mail. You can get stuff from SDF if you go to the little store. Sometimes there's different SDF gear and merch you can buy. I think it's pretty neat. And also, please stick around at 19:30 UTC every single day is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe. This show is Monday through Friday, but Dubious Goals Committee is every day, Monday through Friday, or every day at 19:30. So it's definitely fun. We went to Herrenhaven recently and got to see some muskrat dudes. So yeah, it's definitely a good time. Stick around and listen to that if you can. All right, so let's keep this rolling. We've got some more stuff to talk about. All sorts of world news. So, COVID time. The NHS, the National Health Service in the UK, has written to local health organizations warning of a significant reduction in weekly supply of coronavirus vaccines from the week beginning March 29th for a month. It says there's been a reduction in national inbound vaccine supply. It also says organizations should ensure no further appointments are uploaded to the national booking system or local booking system in April. The BBC understands no one who has booked a vaccine should lose a slot. Asked about the letter, Health Secretary Matt Hancock said vaccine supply is always lumpy and added that the NHS regularly sent out technical letters explaining the ups and downs of supply. Lumpy space princess. Oh, gosh. Oh, my God. The BBC's politics editor, Laura Krusenberg, has been told that fewer AstraZeneca vaccines are available than expected. The BBC, the letter says over this next period, it is vital that health organizations focus on vaccinating those in the 1 to 9 groups who are most vulnerable to coronavirus. It advises vaccination services to work with local authorities, voluntary community, and faith organizations to put in place reserve lists of people eligible for the vaccine, as well as targeting areas of lower uptake. So, we shall see how that plays out. I am rushing because I am having the realization that I'm going to have to probably add a little bit of silence at the end of the show just so that I can get this uploaded in time. So I'm going to try and squish the news in if I can. All right. Brazil health service in worst crisis in its history. Brazil is experiencing a historical collapse of its health service as intensive care units and hospitals run out of capacity. Its leading health institute, Fiocruz, has warned. COVID-19 units in all but two of Brazil's 27 states are at or above 80% capacity. In Rio Grande do Sul state, there are no intensive care beds available at all. The warning came as the country registered its highest daily death toll yet, with 2,841 dying within 24 hours. The figure constitutes a large jump from the previous high of 2,286 on 10th of March. So the chart is looking very scary for Brazil. They have some great graphics if you're curious at thebbc.com. And if we go to Palestine, Palestinians are receiving their first batch of COVAX-supplied vaccines. The Palestinian Authority on Wednesday received its first batch of vaccines from the COVAX Sharing Initiative in a boost to inoculations in the occupied West Bank and Gaza, lagging far behind Israel's campaign. A Palestinian health ministry spokesman said 38,000 doses of Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine would be used for inoculations as of Sunday, while 24,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine would be stored until there is a scientific decision from the World Health Organization. The WHO, one of the leaders of the COVAX program, has said its advisory panel was reviewing reports from several countries of isolated cases of bleeding, blood clots, and low platelet counts after administration of the AstraZeneca shots. But the organization appealed to nations on Monday not to pause vaccination campaigns over safety fears. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, hey, if you give this vaccine to the 24,000 people and 500 of them die because of the vaccine, that's probably better than the 1,000 that would die if they got the coronavirus, I guess. But still scary. I would be very hesitant to take a vaccine that's like, hey, we're looking into it, but go ahead. But yeah, you should definitely get vaccinated if you get a chance. We'll see how that goes. I can't seem to find one. But I'm under the age group. I just have other conditions. All right. So let's go to Mali. Dozens of soldiers killed in an attack on northern Mali army base. So at least 31 soldiers were killed in an attack in northern Mali this week, an army officer said Wednesday, in one of the deadliest assaults on the military this year. Dozens of assailants on motorbikes and pickup trucks on Monday stormed a military post southwest of the town of Ansongo, near the borders with Burkina Faso and Niger, the army said on social media. An initial statement said two soldiers had been killed and eight wounded, but late on Tuesday, the army gave the higher casualty figures, specifying 11 dead and 14 injured, with still 11 missing. On Wednesday, a Malian army officer, who declined to be named, said the death toll had risen to 31. He added that the bodies of 13 assailants were found after the clash. Remains
unclear. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Okay. Sticking the sounds in here and then not knowing where they are is really paying off. It's pretty funny when they go off. Anyway, to get through the news, this is going on in Mali. I've got a song called Arrested in Shanghai from Rancid, which I think is really great. I've edited it down to just 2 minutes, though, so that we can get back on track with the news, because we got tech news and stuff coming up after this. So, here we go! We'll be right back.
sure I was guilty, but I committed no crime. They said confessions bring lenience, so they put me on the line. So I protest the massacres at the Tiananmen Square. My friends say, yo, stay away, man. You better not go fucking back there. Oh! Watch this. Wouldn't that let me write about my opinions about the state and the freedom of expression they would never tolerate, and the military secrets that I never did steal. I didn't start no violence, no, and there was nobody that I killed, no. So I had a clear account of all abuses of power and the memories of homeland now gone sour. And I only got one weapon, it's so plain for me to see. My only weapon I call poetry. And I don't even know why the truth seems like a lie. In my cell there is no sky. When I was arrested in Shanghai.
All right, yeah, that was Rancid and Arrested in Shanghai. Let's do our tech news real quick. This is kind of related. It involves Amazon. Amazon is expanding its virtual healthcare service to other Washington State employers starting on Wednesday, and to its own employees and other businesses nationwide this summer. Piloted in September 2019 for staff near its Seattle headquarters, Amazon Care, in quotes, lets employees video chat with doctors for diagnoses and referrals. It also facilitates house calls and drug delivery in Greater Seattle, a non-virtual benefit that Amazon said would be available in Greater Washington, D.C. and Baltimore in the coming months. They are taking over, this is an aside here, they are taking over doing like drug deliveries and mail order stuff for common drugs, and it's really scary because a lot of pharmacies, there's already Walgreens and CVS and stuff have already pretty much killed your local small pharmacy. But when Amazon gets in there, it's really going to get scary because there's going to be a lot of people who can't really afford drugs other than through Amazon and who can only afford stuff from Amazon. And I know in the 80s, early 90s, I guess, it was kind of like scary to think about what was going on with Walmart, but this is even worse because this doesn't require a physical store. There's not a store you can protest. You're just going to suddenly find out you have to spend Amazon dollars to get anything. Anyway, that's just me going off a little bit. Twitter hack, here we go. This guy has a great picture, by the way, but teen mastermind pleads guilty to celeb Twitter hack. A U.S. teenager has pleaded guilty to hacking several high-profile Twitter accounts in a large-scale Bitcoin scam. We talked about this when it first broke, but Graham Ivan Clark was 17 when he coordinated the scam, which hijacked the profiles of celebrities including Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, and Barack Obama. He would spend 3 years in prison as part of his plea deal, a Florida court filing said. But Clark has already served 229 days of his 3-year sentence. Now 18, but sentenced as a youthful offender, he may also be able to serve some of the sentence at a boot camp, the Tampa Bay Times reported. But Clark will also be banned from using